A meeting of fisher folk from every corner of the globe held amid stands where you can taste all manner of seafood specialities. At Slowfish, it's not easy to ignore the tempting aromas, but I'm looking for one lady in particular.
When I came to the first slow food event that I attended in Turin in 1996, I'd found my tribe. It was fantastic. All these people that are just the same as me. So I'm not as mad and eccentric as I thought.
Found her, queuing for a sardine burger. One of the most active and committed delegates who confesses events like this are the only time she gets a holiday.
I'm Sally Barnes. I'm a fish smoker from the west coast of Ireland. I live in County Cork and I've been smoking fish for nearly 40 years.
What made you do that?
Necessity, absolute economic necessity. I was married to a commercial fisherman. I had two children, had no family in West Cork, so I had to find an occupation that I could do at home so that I'm with the children. Income was very unpredictable, and when you've got children to feed and bills to pay, you need to have a regular income. So we started experimenting with smoking fish because markets were a problem. Getting ice was a problem, and then a bad debt left us with a kiln, a smoking kiln, an electrically powered steel box, effectively, with three drawers in it, and I taught myself how to use it.
Sally went on to become the first Irish food producer to win the Great Taste Awards in London for her wild Irish smoked salmon in 2006.
At Christmas time, people would be coming over from the UK, and they love their wild smoked salmon, so I actually created more money for the 6 winter months than the commercial fishing ever did. So that was a real, you know, yay. Yeah, one for the women. It was great.
You became the fish winner.
I became the fish winner, yeah. Not the bread, the fish. So that was really amazing. And I'm still doing it. It's become a lot more complicated now with EU regulatory controls and fishery controls.
Although she's had to branch out to herring, mackerel and haddock from smoking mainly salmon, Sally won't touch farmed fish for ethical reasons. She says her commitment to traditional fishing and preservation methods is paying off.
I'm now finding that there's a whole new young generation that really want to be close to the land again and want to understand what I'm doing. So to that end, I'm setting up a school to teach artisan smoking skills. And that will be my occupation for the next number of years until I'm allowed to retire.
Shucking oysters with her husband is Barbara Roddenburg. They've come here with other members of their small-scale fishery from the Dutch Waddenzee. She's been fishing and oyster gathering with her husband in the UNESCO World Heritage Area for over 20 years and says it's very common for fishers to be married couples. But she's worried about the future.
All our colleagues who have kids are telling their kids to not become a fisherman. And I can't understand that so well. I mean, on the Waddenzee, it's so uncertain if we are allowed to fish next year or the year after. So you have no security whatsoever. Not only the weather is changing all the time, the ecosystem changes all the time, the species that you can catch are different all the time, the market is changing all the time, but also legislation and everything is changing all the time. And there's so many places where we're not allowed to come anymore, which used to be our traditional fishing grounds.
Barbara and her husband don't have children, so they do what they can to help their colleagues with families at weekends by selling their fish for them at markets and auctions.
I do understand my colleagues, but on the other hand, we really want our profession to survive as well. So we are trying to take youngsters out fishing to at least let them experience what it's like. And we still hope that we find some young people that actually want to learn how to fish, how to catch, how to process fish, how to sell it.
Someone who spent time with both Barbara and Sally is Marielle Klein Langhorst, a Dutch photojournalist with a degree in marine governance. Over the past year, she's been travelling Europe's coastlines, writing a blog called More to See, that's S-E-A, documenting the stories and struggles of small-scale fishers.
Every fisher that I've spoken with is extremely passionate about what they do. You can just see the twinkles in their eyes, and they love being out in nature, and they love their freedom and their independency. But every fisher also has to fight for their right to exist. There's so much happening right now, such as aquaculture, renewable energy, mining. So they're kind of getting into this competition of space, and it's really hard for them to defend themselves.
Mariella says women are often a key force in the fight.
I've seen a lot of women who were capable of making unions of fishers, and via a union, it's more easy for them to sit at a table where policy is being created. So, for instance, this woman in Galicia that's now 70 and running this guild, she started a movement for shellfish gatherers, which are mostly women, and they were able to change some law and to have some policy that was more related to their realities. And then the men kind of, or that's what she says, the men kind of got jealous of what the women were able to accomplish. And then the men started building unions and creating groups. So Galicia is an amazing region right now for that kind of organization.
Another powerful female voice at Slowfish is Caroline Bennett, who founded London's first rotating sushi restaurant 25 years ago. She says she's come a long way from wanting bluefin tuna permanently on the menu to her current sensitivity to sustainable, eco-friendly fishing. A few years ago, at another slow food event, she came up with the idea of founding an ethical fish business.
It was really out of frustration when friends of mine would say to me, well, Caroline, you know, where do I buy your definition of sustainable fish? And I really couldn't give them an answer. You know, where could you buy that? You know, I can't tell them to go to a supermarket and they'll find it there.
While Caroline says restaurants can access ethical, sustainable fish quite easily, there's little on the market for individual consumers.
So I set up Soul of Discretion, spelled S-O-L-E, obviously perhaps, as a community interest company. So it's owned by the fishing community that land to it. It was set up exclusively to sell to like-minded retailers. May 2016, we sold our first fish. We've been struggling. It's not an easy sell, partly because the messaging is so complicated. But I'm working with fantastic organisations that are really like-minded in their absolute determination to change the way people think about food and the way we are able to eat it.
Working with 10 fishermen around the English south coast, every fish Soul of Discretion sells states the name of the fisher and the boat and where and how it was caught.
And that's where my drive comes from. That, much as I love my fishermen, that's where I want this to end. I want a consumer to be able to say, OK, I want to eat fish occasionally, but I don't want to damage the marine environment. How and where do I buy this fish?
Lucky for me here at Slowfish, today I'm spoilt for choice. Danny Mitzman, DW Radio, Genoa.